That's okay. Construction pastor, yeah. I do lots of things, apparently, so. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our church. I guess when you ask a pastor how you can help with something, you get recruited to preach. Didn't realize that was part of my duties here. I'd like to take this opportunity just to pray for this morning and just pray for all of you guys. Dear Lord, we just thank you for our serve team and all the wonderful stories that we got to share this morning. Just ask that you would lead me while I'm speaking to the church and just the stories that I have to go with this. Just thank you for this wonderful day and just that we're able to gather here and just to worship you as these things in your heavenly name. So happy, humble, and hardworking. These were three of the things that John talked to us about every morning during our devotional time in the morning. As you've heard from the serve team members, we've got little snippets of our adventure to Winnipeg this summer. A lot of it, we spent some reflection in the morning, just going through God's word, reading some stuff about how to show humility and to be happy in our day. And basically, when I think of these three traits, they may seem effortless and really easy to implement in your life, but they're kind of common sense. But then we see these things from Satan enter our lives. So we have selfishness and pride and envy. These are all barriers that Satan puts into our lives to deter us from following God's will and to be able to do our daily stuff in God. So much like you, I imagine that you could find this very overwhelming. I know that Satan puts a lot of things in my daily life that I find little roadblocks, and I have to keep refocusing myself on God in those days. The path of this discomfort leads us to act with happiness and humility. We put our best effort into all that we do. This is God's chosen path for each one of us. Jesus exemplified this on many occasions, and today I want to talk to you about one of those in John 13, verse 1 through 17. So if you guys want to turn into your Bibles or read off the screen, you can. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand. You do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. But not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So our serve team adventure provided us numerous opportunities to remind us all of this exact type of servitude. Canvassing the neighborhood in Point Douglas for the ADC Camp Kids, hosting service at Grace Point Church, cleaning Grace Point Church, leading the ADC camp, even serving each other, which I'm sure you can well imagine that with 16 people in a church, very small rooms, that there was a lot of that going on. One of my most prominent experiences was cleaning the entire Grace Point Church. So as you guys have already kind of heard, the building has been utilized by the community on a daily basis. So as John said, people go into this church to use it to phone people, to use the internet for looking for jobs as an address. So part of that was the cleaning of the church. So a lot of the things that we did, we cleaned windows, we dusted, we vacuumed, we sweeped, washed the floors, cleaned fridges, cleaned the offices, washed all the toys in the kids' rooms, cleaned the kitchen, washing the walls, removing the debris from the gutters, as John and Connor did, and of course, the ever-dreaded cleaning of washrooms. So I can imagine, much like many of you, probably my least favorite job of, or least favorite chore in my own house. So for Benin and Josiah, Scott, and John and Jess and myself, we had the opportunity, the joy, the appreciation of cleaning public washrooms. So I don't know how many people here have actually ever had to do that, but I'll tell you, it's not as graceful and as much fun as you might think it was. One of the most humbling moments in my life, though, in the midst of all of this, while I was cleaning the women's washrooms, so I had Benin and Josiah cleaning the men's washrooms, and I decided, okay, I'm going to take on this other side and try to make their life a little bit easier after their little shenanigans at the store. So I started thinking to myself, why did I choose, out of all the jobs that I could have done in this church, to clean the washrooms in this place? I shouldn't have to be doing this. This is going through my mind, and of course, you know, this is the devil trying to get in my head and just start working on me in that way. Now that I think back on it, I think of it about how selfish that was of me to think like that. I know my wife probably doesn't know this, but a lot of this has been going through my mind for a very long time, that, you know, Dad doesn't do a lot of the things that he probably should. So it's given me a much greater appreciation for a lot of the things that she does in our household, and that I really need to step up and do a lot more than I do currently. So I was reminded that I had volunteered to take this task on, and I wasn't told to, and I could have chosen any other job in this. So when you look back in John 13, verse 3 to 7, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Reflecting, obviously, this is our Lord and Savior who's come down to save each and every one of us. He humbled himself to the point of washing his disciples' feet. It's pretty profound when you think about that, that a king is doing something for people that basically he owns every one of us. I just think in my mind, when I think about that, it's mind-boggling. I look at, you know, you look at the times that these people were living in, they would have walked everywhere. These feet would not have been exactly the cleanest feet. They would have probably smelt extremely bad. But Jesus did this humbly. He did it without complaint, or not once did he ever think, why should I be doing this for my children? Jesus showed by example the humility to which we should strive to in our daily lives, not only to our families, our friends, our loved ones, even our neighbors, but all of God's children, everyone. In John 13, verses 12 to 17, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So imagine for a moment that we take everything that we know in our world and we change that and look at it from God's perspective and serve as Jesus did to everyone. I was very fortunate to have many experiences that I will never forget on our Winnipeg adventure. My favorite one was with a family that was living in Point Douglas. So Riley and his sister Haley attended our day camp from day one to day four. Riley is a young boy. He enjoys gaming and playing football. And his sister Haley is a typical seven-year-old girl, likes typical things, but she happens to be hearing impaired. She doesn't let that get to her in any way, though. At the end of our first day of camp, after playing water games, I overheard a conversation between Riley and one of the camp members. He was told by the camp member that he could leave his jacket in the church. So, as you've heard stories about Point Douglas, not exactly the place that you want to leave a pretty expensive coat. I don't know how much it cost. I'm assuming it was probably about an $80 or $90 coat. So Riley was obviously a little bit upset that he had lost, that his coat was taken from him. And his mother, appropriately so, was also quite upset at him for losing his coat, because he was supposed to know better than that. So God started kind of working in my heart that day, and I thought to myself, I'm like, it's a coat. It's like $80. I'm like, I have $80. I can go and buy this kid a new coat. Not a big deal. But then I started remembering some conversations that we had had on Saturday. So Jeremy and Cassia, who are Jess's brother and sister-in-law, had told us a few things about the community. Basically, if you have cash in your pocket, be prepared to give it away. Don't give anything that you don't want to give away, so don't have it on you. And that the community has a lot of programs in place already for clothing and things like that. So that kind of stuck with me that first day, but after getting to know and learning more about this family, we had invited everyone on Thursday for a barbecue, and Erin, Haley and Riley's mom, was also there, so I had an opportunity to speak with her and just kind of talk to her about her kids and tell her how amazing her kids were. If you would have met these two kids, they had a smile on their face about everything every day, and I don't know how. I know, like, my kids, you know, 5 minutes into a day and they're fighting with each other and everything. And you look at these kids, and they work together. Riley was constantly signing to help Haley, and Haley always had a big smile on her face. I found out from Shauna that actually Erin also is a foster parent to three other kids. So she has a daughter and two other sons that she's fostering as well. I don't imagine that she has a lot of money, just because if it was an $80 jacket, you lose it. It's kind of not a big thing around here. You know, you might be a little bit upset about it, but. So Friday morning, I start thinking about it again. I'm like, I should get a jacket for this boy. Just replace the one that we had lost. It's not a big deal. So I started talking to Shauna about it and kind of organizing with Shauna that she was going to go out and purchase this jacket. And she's like, I'll help out paying for that. No big deal. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no worries. So we're getting all the kids ready to go to the beach that day. And just hit me. I'm just like, we got to do something for this mom. Like, she's so hardworking. Her kids are always happy. She's always happy. She's humble about everything that's going on in her life. I'm like, so I phone Shauna up. I'm like, Shauna, grab a couple of gift cards for this mom, and we'll just give them to her, and, you know, hopefully it'll help her out. It wasn't a substantial amount of money, but I knew it was something that would definitely be appreciated and that she could use towards whatever she wanted to. It was just before school was starting. So we get to the beach and start have our day there. We get going back on the bus, and Shauna has the coat, and she gives it to Riley, and Riley gets this big smile on his face, this new coat that he's got. He's super excited about it. So we're in the church, and Shauna's like, okay, you need to give her mom or their mom these gift cards. And I'm like, I don't want to give it to her. Let somebody else do that. I don't really want to do that. And she's like, no, you need to do it. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So Aaron's there. We're talking to Erin. Shauna goes and tells her, you know, like, yeah, we bought Riley this coat. You know, there's a gift receipt in here. If he doesn't like it, if it's the wrong size, whatever, you guys can bring it back. And she starts welling up in her eyes and starts kind of crying about things and getting a bit emotional. Shauna gives her a hug to kind of console her a little bit. And then I told her that from the serve team, which was always my intention, it wasn't because it was from me. It was our serve team. It was something that I wanted to give as a gift from us. So I gave her these gift cards, and she kind of looks at them, and she starts crying even more, and she gives me a great big hug. And I ask her, I say, well, do you mind if I get your address? I said, I have a 7-year-old daughter at home. It'd be really interesting to see if they, you know, can become pen pals. So Alyssa, my daughter, and I, and Christy also helped us write a letter to Haley. We haven't gotten anything back yet, but I was kind of hoping that God would make that work, but I don't know that it did. So as we're leaving the church, Erin kind of looks back, and she had started looking at the gift cards, and I guess she didn't realize how much we had actually given her when we left, when I had given her the gift cards, and she was flabbergasted and got even more emotional. I just said, don't worry about it. It's like, we wanted you to have that. God directed us to give this to you. You know, thank you for the experience with your kids, and it'll forever change how I look at things in my life, and the way that I look at my kids and my wife, and just how fortunate we are here to have the things that we do. And I just found that Erin exemplified these three traits: this happy, humble, hardworking. John wanted us every day to model these in the way that we dealt with all the kids, the way that we served the community that we were in, whatever we were doing, the way that we served each other. The biggest thing I think I would take from this is that I want to challenge you guys in your daily opportunities to show these traits, to be happy, show humility, serve our community, your fellow coworkers, just anyone that crosses your path. If it's somebody that you don't even know, just show them that humility and show that Christ loves them and that you love them, and that's what we're here for. We're here to serve each other and to really just show God and the love that He has for each and every one of us. That's all I have. I'm going to pray. I know it's been a long day here, so I just want to thank you, Lord, for this experience that we had as a serve team. I know you're preparing our hearts for the next part of our adventure. I want to specifically pray for our pastoral staff. I don't think we do this enough, and just to show or tell them the appreciation that we have for what they do for us and the servitude that they show every one of us in this church. I want to specifically pray for John and Jess. I love you both. It was an amazing experience. I'm so looking forward to San Diego. You guys work extremely hard. You guys are such a wonderful addition to our church. I know you've been here for a long time, but just so thankful to have you guys, and just to be there to push me and to push our youth. I want to pray for opportunities for every one of us to serve in our community, in our daily lives, in our work environment, at home, people that we don't know. And I want to pray specifically for work in the serve team members this year, their hearts, so that they can grow in their faith, and that we can bring even more to our San Diego trip. And I also want to pray for you to present funding opportunities. I know that it's a little bit of a push, but we've got a pretty hefty budget that we need to meet for our San Diego trip this year, and I just want you to continue to present the funding opportunities that we need to be able to continue to present your word and to go out and to serve our community. And not only just funding opportunities, but just opportunities for every one of us to go and serve, and just in our community, in the community of Lloydminster. I thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all the stories that we've been able to share, and we're going to now present a video. Yes?
In a minute.
Okay. You changed it on me. That's not fair.